Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Hi, this is Tom Meglia. Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God every Saturday at 3:30, right here on 99.5 FM KKLA. How you doing? Good to talk to you. It's great to be alive and to be talking about God's Word, God's economy. I'm Tom Meglia, financial planner, 27 years as a financial advisor and financial consultant. I'm a registered investment advisor, chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner with a master's of financial sciences. So here we go. That's me, Tom Meglia. We have a website as well. I want to bring up the website. Almost forgot. It's theeconomyofgod.com. And I'd like to give some credit to Bonnie Moore, that beautiful harp music that just sets the mood, the praise of God. Beautiful harp music, Bonnie Moore, Monrovia, California. She plays the harp so well. Her website is bonnieharpsong.com. bonnieharpsong.com. So great to be with you this day. The program is Knowing the Economy of God. And it's based after the book I have being published right now back east called Knowing the Economy of God. And what I have intended to do and taken my 27 years of financial counseling and being a financial counselor and advisor and looking at God's Word from Genesis through Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible, and discussing just what does God say in his terms about money, finances, taxes, everything related to his economic systems, basically the things that God wrote, and learning how to take what God said, what God wrote in the Bible, turning it into an understanding of his economic principles, thus God's economy, and then learning from that step, how to apply those economic principles that God wrote, that God said to do for us as Christians, and to apply those in our normal and everyday life. Every day, normal living. Because the Bible is the Word, and it's applicable for today. That's the key. And then the prayer of change, asking God to change us and work through us to do what he wants us to do. That's God's economy in my mind, and my life calling is to help people understand that and to apply it and to bring honor and glory to God. The Bible is the inspired word, as we know, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And my wife likes to say, well, you're the financial planner with the face for radio, so go tell everyone, Tom. I said, okay, I will. So here it is. And we talk, we teach, and we love the word and love to help people. So basically, God's economy, though, goes against the world's economy. The world's economy is keep God out of everything. Just don't bring God into it. And secondly, the ego of the person is supreme and should rule. The person themselves, the individual, should call the shots, not God. So the two worldly attitudes regarding money of keeping God out of everything and our ego is supreme and should be the ruling authority are trumped or outdone by the Bible, God's Word. And so we're trying to help people understand to replace those kinds of thinking. The world is the ruler, the person. Don't bring God into it in our financial decision-making. That's all pushed aside by the Bible, by God's Word. And so that's what we're doing. And when we talk about God's economy, there's four key principles or anchors, as I call them, in the book I wrote, Knowing the Economy of God. And those anchors are God is the owner. We're the managers or stewards. Giving is the first order of stewardship. And fourth, we are to learn to be content Christians. And that's all under the auspices that Christ is not just our Savior, but our Lord of all parts of our life, especially the financial and money areas. Christ is Lord and Savior, but in the financial area, we're not Lord because God is the one and true only owner. We are the servant steward with giving the first order of stewardship and fourth contentment, the fourth anchor. We're learning to become content. That's what God's economy is about. And then what I like to do is take position by position as we go to discuss just what are we talking about today that goes under each of these anchors. And you can go to the website, theeconomyofgod.com, and learn and listen to past radio programs about different subjects. Okay, so that's kind of what we're up to and what we're doing. And if we're summarizing what happened last Saturday, you know, we talked about the book of Ruth, one of the greatest books in the Bible, the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth has some fantastic financial and economic concepts in it that apply to today's living. Just wonderful book, it really is. And some of the things we talked about last time in understanding the book of Ruth, I'll summarize some of the points we discussed last time. And in chapter one, we talked about, here's a lady, Naomi, who that word meant pleasant, my pleasant one. And later on, she asked God to change her name from pleasant to bitter after what she termed God's affliction towards her about losing everything. And she was a bereaved woman. And bereaved in the dictionary talks about a person who's sad. They're depressed. They're in a lonely place. They're a survivor. One who is bereaved is a survivor of a recently deceased loved one. In this case, Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. That was a tough, tough thing she went through. And in the book of Ruth, it talks about Naomi feeling sad and her hope was gone. She was upset. Of course, she would be. She wasn't in her right mind, really. She was just overcome by weeping, by sadness, by pain. And that's normal. That's what should have happened to someone who loses their spouse and to only the only two children she had. But she still had Ruth and Orpah, her two daughter-in-laws. So really interesting. But Naomi lost three loved ones, three. Very, very heavy. So here's chapter one in the book of Ruth talking about, wow, you know, here's Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, with great moral character, great beauty. She had nothing to gain by being loyal and determined to stay loyal to Naomi, which she claimed and exclaimed that she would. And she did. For no economic motive, no money, nothing to inherit. This is Ruth. And I think when we go through the book of Ruth, we see why God named a book after Ruth. How many books in the Bible were named after people? Ruth had a book named after her. She was a godly lady who loved and trusted God and was loyal and determined to help a widow, her mother-in-law, Naomi. Awesome person. So was Naomi too. And as the chapters go on, we'll learn more about what was happening in the book of Ruth. But she knew where her dependence and trust was. Ruth knew God is where she placed her dependence. You know, when all this happened, there was a famine in the land too. So they were not eating. There was big time destruction hitting them both. So they were hungry. There was a famine. They were grieving. They were crying. What a story. It has everything. The book of Ruth has everything in it, by the way. What a great story. But they were faced with choices to make. And that's what happened in chapter one. They were faced with choices. And I think this also tells us that it's the worst it can get when you're in a, you have a famine condition, famine situation, you lose your loved ones. That's about as bad as it can get on earth. But Naomi and Ruth knew that in heaven, that would be the best it could get. Right now, it was the worst things could be. But Naomi's heart and mind, even though they were clouded and hurt by pain and hopelessness at the time, in the end, she trusted God Almighty. In the end, she was hit hard though. It was like Job. She was hit real hard. So these are the things that were happening. And who was going to provide for them? They knew God would be their provider. And that's an economic principle that we can take from what happened in chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. Naomi and Ruth knew that in the end, their provider was God. Okay? That's an economic principle, not some insurance company where there was life insurance. There wasn't any life insurance when Naomi's husband died. Not like today where someone passes away, there it is. It was trusting God, not an insurance company. And after the break, we'll talk more about the book of Ruth. We'll move on to chapter 2 since we covered chapter 1 last week. And then we'll talk about the economic principles in chapter 2 and how to apply them to your normal and everyday life. So hang on. We're coming up to the break and we'll continue on with the great book, the book of Ruth.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Okay, we're back after the break. Let's move on to chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. And let's talk about just what are the economic principles that come from these scriptures and how to apply them. And that's what we're doing on this second half here of this program. And in chapter 2, it's really interesting because, you know, Naomi and Ruth, it's just amazing. They went back to Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning, and they were willing to work. Ruth was willing to work, and she just said to Naomi in chapter 2, verse 2, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Now, at the time, you have to understand that at the time during the book of Ruth, and this all happened about 1,100 years before Christ, there was a plan, a big plan of welfare for people who were poor. There really was. There was a big plan of welfare. And people were allowed to glean in the fields and pick up basically fruit and grain after the owner had his harvesters come and take what was being harvested. It was kind of God's plan to care for the poor. And that was his economic way of saying, hey, there's a welfare system here because God cares about the poor. And out of God's compassion for poor people, that's an economic principle right there. God commanded the Israelites, the ancient Israelites, to purposely leave behind some produce and to leave the edges of the fields unharvested. And this allowed those who were less fortunate, the poor, to gather what they needed from those who had way more than enough. Otherwise, those poor people would starve. And what did this do? What did this economic system do that God created? Well, it did two things. One, it provided a dignified way for poor people to meet their own needs. They had dignity. They were able to work for what they ate, as opposed to just having someone throw bread or corn at them, that kind of thing. Second, this economic system or principle, the welfare system, it taught those who had abundance not to hoard, not to have the feeling of, oh, look at me, I've got tons and tons. Look at them. They don't have anything. Aren't I great? God doesn't like that kind of thing. He was saying this system teaches people don't hoard. You own all this land. Don't hoard it to yourselves. Walk away from an incompletely harvested field. And that's what the landowners had to do. And that cultivated a spirit of compassion, which was after God's heart. Even as the landowners maintained their own business concerns, their businesses, their companies. So it really did two things. What a great system. And that's an economic, couple of economic principles in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, that was terrific. And here's Ruth. She's working. Was she upset about everything? Sure, she lost her husband. But she's out there working, harvesting, doing all this kind of thing. And Boaz took favor on her. All of this was God's plan. Boaz, I mean, the great, hooray for Boaz. He saw Ruth. He liked her work ethic. He heard about what had happened to her and Naomi. He took favor on Ruth. He took a liking to Ruth. No question about it. He was an upright farmer. He was blessed by God. He was generous with Ruth, his employees, with people. He wasn't a hoarding type of a person. He liked to bless. He liked to give. It's really incredible. So I think that's fantastic. And by the way, did you know that King David was the grandson of Ruth and Boaz? Did you know that Jesus Christ was in the lineage of King David? All of this, isn't this amazing? What a great story. Only God could have a plan like this. Ruth and Naomi didn't know this was all coming around or happening. They didn't know this was part of God's plan, but they trusted God, even though they couldn't see anything. They couldn't see ahead. And they were just common people. You're probably thinking, well, Ruth was special. Naomi was special. I'm not like them. They were just common people, but with extraordinary character. That's who they were. And, you know, Ruth asked permission to glean. Boaz gave it to her. But he also told his people, don't harm her. He gave her protection. And he knew of the loyalty that Naomi and Ruth had to God. And Boaz respected that loyalty. And so she was able to glean the fields with the maidservants of Boaz, not waiting till the end of the day. He let her work in the middle of the day, the beginning of the day. And she worked all day, all night. I mean, she was amazing, great worker. But Boaz said, don't anybody harm her. And Ruth, he knew Ruth had a great spirit, a humble heart. And she did. She really did. It was just fantastic. This book of Ruth is awesome. If you're hearing me today, go read this book of Ruth, please. All four chapters. We talked about chapter 1 last week. Today's chapter 2. Next week we'll do chapter 3. There are things in this book, economic principles, that we need to live our life by. Can you live today based on that book written 1,100 years before Christ, which is over 3,100 years from right now? Yes, of course, because the Bible is for now. And God was in complete control of Naomi and Ruth's situation. Ruth wasn't ashamed to work. Good for her. God gave her hands. She used them. She made a living. She worked. She wasn't looking for a freebie or for a handout. It's just amazing. What a great attitude she had. I got to meet her someday. And Naomi too. Oh, so, you know, it's just great. And that's the plan that God has for all of us. And that's what's interesting to me because, you know, here's Naomi praying for Boaz in chapter 2. She prays for Boaz. I mean, they're harvesting corn, barley, wheat, all kinds of good things you can make products out of. Here's Ruth, a worker bee, the bumblebee, working around, doing good. So it's just great. And Naomi was so thankful that Boaz took notice of her. She even said, quote, blessed is the man, or be the man who took notice of you, Ruth. So just great. What a great story. And really one of the morals of the story is when things look awful, it's not over. And I think that's one of the things we need to remember and what we need to apply in our normal life. So listen to me here. When things look bad and you have a disaster, a financial storm, it's not over. God is with you. You can count on God to provide. He says he's your father. He's going to provide for your food, clothing, and shelter. He promises that to you throughout Scripture. Now, do you feel pain? Of course. Do you feel devastation? Yes, you lost someone. That's what you're supposed to feel. That makes sense. But we must plan ahead. We must get advice. Financial planning, financial advice, it's good. Proverbs says to do such. But ultimately, we don't trust in planners. We trust God. We don't trust in money or inheritances. We trust in God. So these are some of the economic principles. You still need to walk forward, walk in faith, work hard, but know that he has a plan. And you'll know that when you read the book of Ruth. It looks bad, but things are happening. Nothing gets in God's way. Nothing. His plan will come around and be happening. Nothing or anybody can stop that. Now, will there be pain? Sure. But you've got to expect it. It's going to happen sooner or later. We don't all live together, live forever, die at the same times. Pain's going to happen. We've got to get ready and grow and mature in our walk with God to get ready for this. Okay? This is what has to happen. It's going to happen. So we need to not be complaining or bitter, but we need to trust and obey God, knowing he's got a plan. Ruth, like the Proverbs 31 woman, a loyal, valuable character of God, a woman of God, she persevered. She had nothing to gain out of it. Naomi had nothing that she could gain from it. But her character was a crown. So let's do this. Let me tell you a little bit, first of all, about a prayer we need to pray right now. Okay? And then I'll follow that up with a little bit about what I might be able to help you with. And the prayer we have is the prayer of change. So let's pray. I'll pray for you right now as you're driving around. Lord, thank you for the book of Ruth. Change us, Lord. Help us to be like Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. We thank you for this lesson. When we have our struggles, Lord, help us not to curse you or get mad at you, God, but to trust you, to obey and love you, God, even though we're in pain, even though we go through terrible things. Yet there are ministry opportunities, Lord, that you bring about through the trouble, the pain, and the struggles. Work in our attitudes, Lord, our emotions, me, the listener. Help us to be sensitive to the widows and the needy and the poor. In Jesus' name, change us, Lord, to comply with your economic lessons in the book of Ruth. And folks, and by the way, amen to that. And folks, if you need a financial planner, give me a call. I can help you with your planning, your pensions, estate planning, the investing side of your situation. If you have 401ks or IRAs that need looking at, give me a call. We'll create a financial plan. My number, 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, Financial Planner, 800-386-3700. Thanks. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you next Saturday for Chapter 3 of the Book of Ruth. God bless.
Been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.